You can have your seats. Just try and rearrange your chairs and sit down. It is at will. It is at will. It is at will. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. We are not giving you a choice. Do you want to rejoice? No. No choice. In this atmosphere, if we say we are creating an atmosphere of joy or an atmosphere of power, you don't have a choice. You do not have a choice. We refuse to give you the choice. We know man is a being of choice, but in this one, we say, no, you don't have a choice. Except you are not a believer. If that is the, just excuse us first, we'll call you. Somebody go and preach to you that when you are saved, that you have the Spirit can come in. But so long as you have the Spirit of God, if you are here, we say no choice. No choice. No choice. You must participate. That is what it is. The church of God is not a one-man show. It is not for one man of God somewhere to go and bring out talisman from his pocket. It is believers, every one of us, participating. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we are continuing on expressing the Spirit. Expressing the Spirit. Last week Sunday, we looked at joy and we understood what it was, that joy is an integral part of the believer. So long as he's saved, he has joy in him. It is not a function of circumstances. It is a function of the presence of the Spirit of God in him. Just so long as he has the Spirit of God, he can rejoice at any time at will. Of course, we saw the different expressions of joy. On Wednesday, we continued and looked at utterance. And we saw that another way to express the Spirit, another expression of the Spirit, is through utterance. And then we started looking at tongues a little bit. We did a brief introduction with respect to tongues. So today, we're going to continue in the light and see how far, how much we can cover. End the series today, fine. If not, pick it up another time. All right. And you know where we started from last week, right? On Wednesday, that the believer must be interested in knowledge. Not sound bites, not summary, not key points, but details. And they must be interested in details. Of course, and then we saw the priorities and what he should do. Right. So today we're going to focus and continue. We discovered that the last time, utterance from Acts chapter 1. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 1. I'm doing this brief recap for those who were not here on Wednesday. I want to be persuaded. Acts 2. I want to be persuaded that you try to follow up and make up. Otherwise, you look like the unlearned here right now. But let's just try and see how we go. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And in the field of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them what? As the Spirit gave what? Utterance. So we saw that what the Spirit gave, according to what the scripture said there, was not necessarily tongues, but utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance, and one of that expression of utterance is tongues. Okay? So what we saw utterance, right? Apothegomai, right? Okay, let me just spell it for you, for those that were not here. APOPHCHEGGOMAI. And it means to speak out or speak forth. But not just ordinary words of everyday usage, like we saw in Lalio. Rather, it is a word of an elevated discourse, belonging to a dignified and elevated discourse. And we saw that utterance there, because he said the Spirit gave them utterance, that means this source or this inspiration or this discourse is pertaining to what? The Spirit. So we see that the Spirit gave utterance, gave inspiration, gave the ability to speak forth. The source of what they were saying was not from their minds, rather it was from the Spirit. The Spirit gave utterance, the Spirit gave the souls, the Spirit gave inspiration. Hallelujah. All right, so we saw that the tongues was an offshoot of that utterance. They began to speak with tongues. And other things that came up, I said you could go to listen to the things of the Spirit, right? Part 1 to 5, most importantly, verse 5, for kainos glossa and genos glossa, full comprehensive information there. If you don't know the meaning of what I just said, please go get the series and listen to it appropriately. And we also saw that the importance that the apostles give to tongues, that they were not allowing men to choose, do you want to speak in tongues or not? No. Everywhere men got saved, they got them filled with the Holy Ghost. It was not a question of choice. It was not a question of, hey. No, it was an expectation that you have the Spirit of God, you should speak in tongues. And we saw how much premium and value they placed in tongues, that they were able to accept it in Acts 10 as a conclusive evidence that Gentiles could be saved. So even though you see Acts 11, even though they wanted to start quarreling with Peter, immediately Peter told them that this person spoke in tongues the way we did in Acts 2. They kept quiet, even though they did not understood or they did not understand properly, but they valued and esteemed tongues enough to be able to say, hey, this is enough for us. Okay? So that was the value that they placed on tongues, and we should also place it the same value. We must learn to honor tongues. That was where we focused on. We saw that we must honor tongues and all the attendant benefits. All right. Okay, now let's start. Many, we're starting to talk about the issues why some persons are reluctant to speak with tongues, and we say some of them are saying we might be rubbish, or am I sure, and all the other things, and we saw some scriptures to clarify that. But today let's look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. Another issue some persons have with respect to tongues is that they feel God is reluctant to give them such ability. When you want to get some men saved, especially some people in different denominations, you know, some believers that have been in church for years, they are like the most difficult persons to get filled sometimes. You will have heard, why are you not speaking in tongues? God has not given me. God has not given me tongues. Because they feel they must deserve it, or they are not yet worthy to be placed on that kind of cadre. So only some elevated persons can speak in tongues. But let's see what the scripture says about God's willingness for us to give men the Spirit and for us to manifest save. All right, Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we see an analogy that Jesus gave and said, if you as mortal men, your children ask you for separate things or different things, do you give them, it's not just even refraining to give them, but give them something that will be detrimental to them. So you're asking for bread and your parent give you stone. I know most of us have had difficult parents. There are some of you that say your father was very wicked, or your father was very harsh, or your mother was very disciplined. Did you ever get to a point where you asked your father for fish? Like some of you that like to beg for things, when you're begging and your father is eating, you sit down there until he clicks through, you see, just be waiting and expecting that you remain one strand of fish for you. Please don't lie, I know you did it. It was already confirmed. So, if your father was ever wicked to the point that he eats all the fish, he knows you want fish, then he goes to bring out one snake and put it there, knowing that you are small, you might not know what snake is, and it looks like fish. Has any of your fathers ever done that? But men feel that they attribute more generosity to earthly men than to God. So you see them saying God is reluctant, or God is not eager, or God is not interested or enthusiastic about giving them the Spirit, because they have a very, very wrong and tainted interpretation of who God is. So you show this to them, that Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father, much more, willing to give you the Spirit. So if a man desires to express the spirit, he will not express something wrong. Okay? Because why? It's not just a function of him. It's the fact that God, through Christ, of course, has made the spirit available to all men, even when we were yet sinners. To show you that it was not like we are begging God to even be saved. We're not begging God to have the spirit. In fact, many of you did not even know what the spirit was. But rather, in his own interest, or in his own love, and his own forwardness, he had already made the spirit available even before men knew they needed it. So let's see Romans. This is the attribute. This is the character of our God. To use this to convince men that God is much more eager for men to have and express the spirit than even them. Romans 5, from verse 6, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received reconciliation. So, you see that even while we were yet sinners, God was much more interested for men to have the Spirit. Much more interested. And then you see Romans 8:32, that if God spared not his son, how shall he not with him give us all things? So whatever it is that was necessary to accompany us, whatever it is that is necessary for our spiritual enlightenment or growth, has been given to us through Christ. So if God gave Christ, he gave us everything. So we must have that at the back of your mind, that God right now is not withholding anything from anyone. He has given all. He has given all. The scriptures tell us clearly that God is so much eager for men to have the Spirit and to manifest and express it. It is the Father's good pleasure for us to so do. So when we rejoice, it is the Father's pleasure. When we express the Spirit, it is God's pleasure. No man, no believer should say, God has not given me tongues or God has not given me the ability. He gave Christ. He gave everything. All right, so and also we saw that on Wednesday that tongues, when the Bible says 1 Corinthians 14:2, that he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. And then we ask the question, what does that edification mean? Can the spirit of man grow? Can the spirit, the new creature that God has given you, that spirit that is in union with God's spirit, can it grow? Can it get better? Does he need to learn? What exactly does that edifying himself mean? And we saw that that edification takes place in the mind of the believer when he speaks in tongues. We see that he superimposes realities and possibilities of the spirit on his mind. So when a man speaks in tongues deliberately, the realities in his spirit or the possibilities in his spirit become superimposed in his mind. It becomes obvious, clear to his mind, and then the strength to act accordingly is also supplied. That is how we edify ourselves in tongues. All right, so today we'll say, I gave a hint that today we'll continue about the place of tongues in ministry. In ministry. How exactly do we use or maximize tongues in the place of ministry? That's what we'll start from today. All right, so 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. That was a brief recap for those that were not here. Please follow up accordingly, make up your notes, and listen. Right, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word of wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So we see, Paul clearly tells us here that the way to make the gospel available to men is through preaching. That is the medium that God has designed, that this gospel will be available to men. So even though people might seek other ways or signs or something lofty, it pleased God that through the foolishness, in quotes, of preaching, just preaching the gospel, a man can get saved. That power is made available to get a man saved. That means there is nothing we can do besides this to get a man saved. If you're interested in getting a man saved, the tool or the resource available to you is preaching. Okay, so we see clearly that is how we spread the gospel. And when you preach, there are some responses you can get. It is almost clear cut. It's either the person accepts, believes, or the person says, okay, go, I'll think about it. Or the person says, very just hostile and say, I don't even want to hear it at all. There are just some specific responses that you can predict when you preach. So, okay. Now, but we know as well that our job through preaching is to convince a man that the path that he is on is not the proper path for him. So we are trying to convince him to change his mind or to turn around, that this path you are actually on is united with hell. This path, if you keep at it, you will go to hell. It's not because God wants to send you there, but because that is the path you are on. So our job through preaching is trying to convince men. 2 Corinthians 5. All right, verse 18. Are we there? Let's open as fast as we can so we can be done in 40 minutes. Amen. All right, so verse 18. And all things of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So with that, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So what is the job of the preacher? He is beseeching. He is literally begging and saying, please be reconciled to God. Leave the path you are on and be united with the path that God has designed for you in Christ. That is the job of the preacher, to beseech men or to convince them. And the Bible tells us, why is this beseeching necessary? Why do we have to actually, in quote, plead with men or reason with them or try to convince them? Why is it necessary? Are all men not supposed to just know that, hey, this is good for me? Why don't they just embrace it normally? Let's see why. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if men are not understanding, comprehending, receiving this gospel that we preach, it is because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds so that they cannot understand, they cannot comprehend what you are saying. This makes us realize that preaching or the act of convincing men is beyond words. It's beyond mere words. If there is a factor at work in the man refusing to receive the gospel, that the God of this world has blinded his eyes, it will make us realize that our job of preaching and beseeching a man is not just by speaking empty words. It is not mere words. It is not mere words. Because what we are contending with is spiritual strongholds. Contending with spiritual strongholds. Alright, you see that clearly in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you see a man that is vehement, you see a man that almost wants to kill another man because of the gospel, it is not normal. It is not normal. So rather than think that this person you are contending with right now is the problem, it's actually not. There are external forces at work. Like the example I like to give, we went to Ado Ekiti for Lehold one time, and we parked the car. We just drove into the complex we're going to use for the Lehold, and Pastor stepped out to go and make arrangements for our accommodation. Pastor Jada and I were seated inside the car. And then all of a sudden, one woman brought a big stick and wanted to hit us, hit the car. Like, who parked this car here? It was obvious that she was not acting normal. Who parked this car here? Big sticks will hit this. And we're like, yeah, inside the car. I was almost getting upset. What is your problem? What is happening? What is happening here? And Pastor Jada was at the wheel because he was driving. Just parked there, and we're looking and observing. So like three persons trying to hold down the woman, and don't hit this car, don't hit it, don't hit it. And she was sitting, we'll hit the car. Okay, when it was getting out of our pastor said, okay, this is not normal. In the name of Jesus, every demonic activity right there, cease now in the name of Jesus. Then he said that, this woman that three persons were trying to hold, just stood like this, dropped the stick, and walked away. Like, okay, this is not normal. So, if, for example, a person that does not descend properly would just probably, like me, that was about to get angry with the woman, that she wanted to just say, can your generation buy this car? They carry stick. What did they do? Yeah, break her now. We go sell your family the money, not go see rich to buy the motor. Abi? You can get upset to that level and then just be angry. But discernment will make you realize that, okay, it is actually not the woman. So rather than contending with her and insulting her and her generation, there are external forces at work that is making her hostile. And so you can actually seize the situation spiritually. So also, for us, we must realize that it is sometimes or most times when you see persons this hostile to the message and threatening and doing just not acting normal or reasoning properly. Most times, there are demonic issues or demonic forces at work. That's why the Bible tells us clearly that our warfare, the persons we are contending with, are not physical people. They're not human beings. Rather, they are spiritual wickedness in heaven. All right. So, with that in mind, we realize that also the weapons or what we are going to use in fighting this is also not physical. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because what our contention is not physical, our weapon also cannot be physical. Because trying to use physical tools to fight spiritual battles is just a waste of time. Once you have realized that why is my gospel not being accepted, it's because the God of this world has blinded their minds. What should I do? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we see that was stronghold here in verse 4. That's casting down of strongholds. It does not necessarily mean gates or physical things that we can see. No, rather, if you see the meaning in your My Sword Bible, you see anything or on which a person relies, or the arguments and reasonings by which a disputant bases his own argument on. Do you understand what I just said? Anything on which a person relies. What is that stronghold there? What does it mean? Anything on which a person relies, all the arguments and reasonings, the arguments he gives, the reasonings by which a disputant, or that person rejecting what you're saying, a disputant, fortifies his opinion and defends against his opponent. So that's what stronghold means there. So that you don't think you're expecting to see one big gate. No, that argument or that reasoning, that logic, That's whatever excuse that they think they have to reject what you are saying is a stronghold. Okay? All right. So once they express that, you know definitely that that is what you are against. And that's verse 5, I say bringing into captivity. That's there is not saying you are chaining them or going to sell them or something. No, it means to captivate the mind. Bring into captivity to captivate or control the person's mind. In quotes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we see the meaning of struggle there. All right. So now knowing what is that weapon, what do we have available to us? What is that tool we have? When the Bible says our weapon is not carnal, but is mighty through God. What is that resource or weapon available to us to be able to pull down these things in the place of ministry? And one clear thing the Bible tells us is praying in the spirit, which is tongues. How do we maximize these for ministry, for effectiveness in ministry, to see the desired result in ministry? Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 18 to 19. Sorry, you already read verse 12. Read Ephesians 6, 18 to 19. Now, Paul has been describing from verse 12 that these are the things you should do in this warfare, in quote, and we have established that the warfare is not physical, right? All right, so verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am also an ambassador in bonds. Now, Paul requested the prayers of the saints, praying in the spirit, for him to have utterance. The utterance there is words, that he may be able to have the right words to know what to speak. Saying, meaning, or showing us clearly that through praying in tongues or praying in the spirit, the believer can have the right words to use in particular situations. The right thing to say, the right way to say it, everything the right proper way. That's utterance there. The appropriate way and mode of communication to ensure that this gospel or the man receives it. Isaiah 50. You see an example in Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Let's try and fast. Find assembly. Pastor said you should hire a church help, right? So that you have somebody that will come to church, sit down beside you, and be helping you open the Bible as fast as you can while you're writing. So you need to be fast. Isaiah 50, are you there? Verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learner, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning, he wakened my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither I turned away back. Now we realize that there is something called the right way to say something, so that you have the exact words to say to him that is weary. Okay? And what makes that available? That's what Paul was praying for in utterance there. If you see, check the meaning of the utterance, you see the right words to use in a particular situation. Words, the right words. So prayer delivers it to us. Prayer through tongues, praying in the spirit, enables us to have just know the right things to say, the right way to say, the appropriate mode of communication. You can just put it like that. It covers everything. And also, Paul talked about boldness, that I may be bold. You know, when we read Acts of the Apostles, and we are amazed at the audacity of Paul, or the tenacity with which he was proclaiming the gospel. This, Paul did not make any light of the secret. He told them clearly, Ephesians 6, verse 19 again, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, we see why a man like Paul, even though he was in chains, could stand before a king, King Agrippa, and say, I wish you were like me. Not just, I wish all men were like me, apart from these bones. Such boldness. And what does it take? Praying in the spirit. When you pray in tongues, he says, pray for us, so that me, I can have boldness. Of course, a man that will tell you to pray for him has also been praying for himself. So if a believer that is still saying, I'm not bold, or I'm timid in such situations, what is the response you give to such person? Pray in the spirit. That is one way we can summon up boldness, or have the right words to say. Or you're saying, when you go for outreach, you don't know how to say or how to address the person, or you are just still like this. You are not just sure. The solution, the weapon that you have been given, is praying in the spirit. How well are you maximizing that? How well can you maximize that? You know the example we gave Pastor Jola, prayers can suspend the activities of demonic influence part time. So for example, somebody is just should I say hostile, or somebody is just refusing those arguments, you know what we talked about, strongholds, giving you points and everything, and just refusing to just listen to you. If you have prayed, you can pray sufficiently in tongues enough to be able to suspend such demonic activities around that person by time. We know that we cannot change a man's mind or will by prayer, right? Prayer is not witchcraft. It's not witch hunting. You cannot manipulate a man to change his mind. If not, we'll just stay in one place and pray and the whole world will get saved. No, rather, the man must be convinced. The man must be able to listen and hear you well. So if the man has, if something is preventing him from listening or understanding what you are saying, such demonic influence can be suspended or put a halt to through prayers. And create an atmosphere in the man's mind where he's more receptive to understand you. Do you understand the difference? All right. So we can get their attention or make it easier to get their attention through prayer. We make their mind more malleable or more receptive. We see 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. What is the place of thongs? What is the place of praying in the spirit? In ministry, in our effectiveness in ministry. 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of Lord may have course, that's free course, and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, we see the word course there means no hindrance or treacle in the Greek. It means to gain ground, to rapidly propagate. That means you can pray that the word would not have hindrance, would be able to propagate rapidly. So people that just, it's not the right word to take over or what has gone or this, what is that. No, it is a place of prayer. You pray so that the word can gain ground. That is what prayer does. Prayer makes the word to gain ground, to rapidly propagate in a place, to rapidly develop, to make it have a way that is free of hindrance. Prayers do that. And of course, we deliver for wicked and reasonable men. We've already explained that in previous teachings. Prayer gives you direction. You can know the places to avoid. You can discern what, when to stay away and when to move. Okay? So especially in hostile environments, that's very, very important that you must be, you must pay attention to such leading. Now, even in ministry, in terms of preaching, prayers can show you or can make you understand clearly where to go, where your ministry will be received, the areas to pay attention to for now. Okay, stay here. Okay, it's better to go in this direction. Okay, no, don't go here today. Go there. You can get those directions, specific instructions, in deliberate praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. It can reveal to you the places and persons that are ready to receive what it is that you are bringing. Let's see an example in Acts 16. Acts 16. Acts 16, be fast. Acts 16, verse 6. Open quickly, open. Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through out Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now, of course, if you've read in this church, we've clarified a lot, Acts 13, when it said the Spirit instructed and said, take from me, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. How does the Spirit speak? Aha. So through men, of course, a man can pray and receive such directions. It's not necessarily saying that as he wanted to go there, one problem just came and then one accident and it's okay, the Spirit is not saying us to go. No, of course, through utterance, through discernment, they can realize that, okay, this is what's exactly this, what we should be doing by now. Now, you see that verse 8, and they passing by Asia came down to Troas. So it's not as if they were saying, don't come to Asia at all, that Asia does not need the gospel. See Acts 19. You see the same places that Paul called where they received instruction not to go there but at that time. You see Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, did you see that this same gospel still got to Asia? You see it? So it was not like Asia does not need the gospel. No, rather it was a form of, okay, who is ready? Who is not ready? Where will your gospel be accepted for now? Those are directions we get in the place of prayer. All right, let's continue reading Acts 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the ninth. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So we see how prayers give direction or instruction in place of ministry. So even though we know that, yes, the world needs the gospel, but there are specific instructions you can receive per time relating to places or persons where it will be more receptive for you, or ministry will just become easier there. Okay? Praise God. All right. So that is one advantage we have while praying in tongues. You see that also in Acts 10, while Peter prayed, he had fasted and prayed, and then a vision, he got a vision of the sheet that was lowered down, and then the interpretation while he was pondering on it was that men are coming and follow those men, they need the gospel. So prayers made people, on a normal day, Peter would not have, his mind might not have been opened to even consider that. But through that medium of praying, he received that instruction that these men need you, go. Do you understand? All right, so that is what advantage that prayer gives to us, praying in tongues. It opens our mind to receive insight, specific instructions and directions, promptings we can receive via tongues. Exactly the best way to handle the situation. Now, you know that word of knowledge is not the fast way to just gain somebody's attention. There are some times that somebody's not listening to you, you can give a word of knowledge and arrest the person's attention. There are other times you might give a word of knowledge and the person will even chase you. Who are you? Go away. I die with you. This kind of thing. So you, is there, in ministry, there is no, how do I, there's no pattern. There's no set rules that this is how you must do it. Rather, prayer per time will reveal to you the best course of action. That is why in the place of ministry, a man that wants to be effective in evangelism, a man that wants to be effective and have good results, the desired results, cannot negate praying in tongues. For each outreach, it is not just to pass away time. Before you go out on any outreach, you should have spent even more of the time that you're going to do on that outreach praying first. That is how a man receives direction, instructions, and know what to do in the exact way to do it. All right, so we get such amplifications in the place of prayer. You know what we learn in the morning? Learning, the destination of learning is what? A change and a confirmation in your conduct. So I know this information, people say, yes, I know we should pray before our evangelism. But if you are not yet doing it and getting the same things, have you learned? Have you learned? Good. It's not an accumulation of knowledge. You emphasize these things and keep saying it until we see the results we want to see practically. So ensure you take dressing even as we are going through this now. All right. So preaching is warfare. That's where we started from. You know, we are talking about the importance of tongues in ministry, in preaching. Preaching is warfare. It is not just mere words. It is beyond speaking mere words. First Thessalonians, we must ensure this becomes a part of us. So know that whether by preaching or teaching, it is not just to get the words and say, hey, this is what this word means, or the Greek, or this one, or this one, or just going to tell somebody that God, Jesus died for your sins. Or this. No, you might know the words, but preaching is beyond mere words. It is not just to speak words. It is not just to speak words. Okay, where did I say we should open to? 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Okay, let me read verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. Now, of course, that is Paul telling them that when we came to preach to you, we did not just come with just words. It was not just in word only, but it was with power as well. 1 Corinthians 2, let's just rush through the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2. Are you there? From verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now this was Paul telling them the way he preached, or that the words that he preached among them was not just in words only. Those words were accompanied by power. Those words on his own is not just, they say, John 3:16, Christ died for your sins. No. There are power that must accompany the words. 1 Corinthians 4. Right. Verse 19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will and will not. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Just to say to you that when we preach or when we teach, it's not just saying words. No, those words are accompanied with power. And prayer makes such power available. Prayer makes your words not to be mere words. This prayer, or through praying, that gives power to your words. That translated from just mere English to power, or through words that communicate power, that is able to cause the desired change. Of course, we know that the power, the gospel is the power of God. So you can teach, or you can say words, and your words accompany or fall with it, with your words. The power to make the person do what you want to do is accompanied with it. Do you understand? Do you know that? So it's not just, especially for teaching or for preaching, it's not just to just be writing and say, okay, this one, you want to give you something to teach one day and say, okay, come and teach on grace or this one, and then you just go and check out the Greek word. No, you must spend more time praying, because teaching and preaching is beyond words. So it is prayer in the spirit that makes this power available, dynamic in its working, that is able to make it conform or achieve what it wants, what you want it to do. It makes your words to hit the mark. Precision, accuracy, and it makes it have the desired effect. So in ministry, in getting men saved, in teaching men, you say, I'm teaching this person, I'm teaching, the person does not just, he just keeps arguing, spend more time praying. So in preaching and teaching, effectiveness in ministry, our guaranteed tool is praying in tongues, no alternatives. Praying tongues. Alright, so you know we're talking about utterance. We just want to conclude tongues. Another expression of the Spirit through utterance is what the Bible tells us or refers to as prophecies. This is another variation of utterance. So that the Spirit gave utterance. Utterance is what we have manifested through tongues. Now we're just focusing a little on prophesying. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Open. Let's be fast. We'll round up in 20 minutes. Prophesying. Okay. Follow after charity, 14:1, and desire spiritual, but rather that you may prophesy. That the word prophesy or prophesying there, prophetuo, it means to speak forth by divine inspiration. Of course, you know, we've already told you, even tongues is to speak forth by divine inspiration. The only difference is that for tongues, no man understandeth you. But for prophesying, you speak in a language that the hearer can understand. You know, we talked about tongues the last service, and we said that even though, okay, let's just read, we'll read it later, but we are defining prophesying. All right, to speak forth by divine inspiration, it can be for future events, but not necessarily, not always. Okay, it can also be to declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. To declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. So you see, word of knowledge and word of wisdom also falls into this category. Something that you will not be able to know on a normal day with your mind, but by divine revelation. All right, another variation or another meaning is to break forth under sudden impulse in lofty discourse or praise of the divine counsel. That means to just break forth in speech under divine or sudden impulse. That is when you don't have to speak in tongues first. You can just on your own just be influenced by the Spirit and just speak forth words. That is prophesying. Did you get it? Kevin, did you get it? All right. The third, I said to break forth under sudden impulse in praise of the divine counsels. As in when you are saying things on in sudden impulse. You are, we've done it here before now. We've explained prophecy here before that without tongues and interpretation, normally we do tongues interpretation. Now, without tongues interpretation, the ability to just speak forth to somebody under the influence of the Spirit in the language he will understand, not in tongues now. So that is also tongues. Ah, and that's also prophecy. All right, so in a nutshell, to speak under inspiration, prophecy is to speak under inspiration. The difference is that you are speaking words in the language the hearer can understand. Simple. But it's under the same inspiration of the Spirit. Alright, so let's keep reading at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in the tongue speaketh unto men. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth. No man understands tongues. No man understands tongues. So if do not get carried away by the fact that I am not understanding what I am saying. The Bible tells you it is not meant for the mind to understand. So no man understands tongues. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So tongues is inspired by the Spirit. And in that Spirit you are speaking perfectly. You are speaking well. Just mysteries. Of course, mysteries does not mean nonsense. It just means covered truths. And they can be uncovered through interpretation. But that's not my focus now. All right, verse 3. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. Now, you know, the Bible gives us a guide here. That prophecy has a guide. It is unto what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So a man cannot say, I am under the influence of the Spirit so I can speak anything. A question that all of you failed, workers in training, none of you got it in your last exam. We said that, the context question, that there are some things we do not hear from Dash. There are some utterances that we cannot hear from a man that is speaking by the Spirit. That's the answer. A man speaking by the Spirit, there are some things you will not hear. That's one way, clear way to judge. Who, anybody can say, don't question it, I'm inspired. And they just start talking. We can judge it. The Scripture gives us a guideline and boundaries. So there are statements you will not hear. Example of such statement, just flip to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. Course, so a man cannot say, I'm speaking under the influence of the Spirit and say things that contradict Christ or what he has done. That is a clear checkmate to know that this one is not speaking by the Spirit. So there are some utterances we cannot hear by a man who is speaking by the Spirit of God, or for a man speaking by the Spirit of God. And in prophecy, we have boundaries. It must be to exhortation, it must be to comfort, it must be for edification. All right. Now, the purpose of this is clearly stated. That 1 Corinthians 14, let's read verse 4 now. He that speaketh in the tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edifies the church. Now, why is prophecy something we should emphasize just as much as tongues? Because for tongues, the believer must grow beyond the point where he's selfish. Because, of course, you know tongues, you can say, I'm just enjoying myself, me, my spirit, we're coming. No, it is beyond that. Paul said, as much as you desire spiritual, seek to the edifying of the church. And the way you can edify the church is through prophecy. We see it accompanied in everywhere people spoke in tongues. They always prophesied or they always interpreted. Acts 2. Of course, you see, we have already read and stated clearly that no man understands tongues. So if man is speaking in tongues and people are saying they can hear, you should know, they can understand what is being said, you should know clearly that there are two situations involved. Either the tongues is not kainos glossa, it is what? Or what is the second situation? So if the Scripture records as people spoke in tongues and then we heard, what would not be the other meaning? Interpretation. That there was interpretation as well. So you see in Acts 2, Verse 11, Crete and Abridia, I've already talked, how we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So if they really understood what was said, it means that tongues and interpretation had gone forth. Acts 10, of course, that's scripture, or Acts 2 was exhaustively explained in what message? Things are Spirit Part 5, so just go and read that. That's not my focus. Go and listen to that message again. All right, Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, what would that second part be? What would that second part be? Interpretation. All right, Acts 19. If you can decipher understanding when men speak in tongues, it means they spoke in tongues and interpreted. They prophesied. They gave meaning to what they have said. Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So it has always been the norm. You don't get a person filled and then leave the person like that. Explain interpretation at that same point. Let the person understand that through tongues, you can interpret it, or you can also bear forth prophecies. Otherwise, the person just goes away feeling like tongue is just one thing that just comes and I don't know what it just comes. I just come and just come and goes. No. While you get a person filled, explain to them clearly and ensure they know what interpretation is, and they can do both alongside. Okay? All right. So this is very, very, very important. 1 Corinthians 14. This is just the emphasis for today, and then we can close. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Why do we have to emphasize interpretation, prophecy? Why? Why should we encourage it? All right, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so he, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, we'll just focus on that verse a little. John, why are you not looking at your Bible? You're faster than me. Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, it was not saying that if you can speak in tongues, be praying later for the ability to interpret the tongues. No. What does that mean? It simply means to the intent. To the intent. That means the intention or a result. To do something with a particular result or intention in mind. Do you understand? That means a resultant effect of doing something. You can say, speak in tongues so that you prophesy, or with the intent of prophesying. Let's see other ways it was used several times in the Bible. We just see two instances that might probably shed a little more light on it. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. See, just two examples. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. All right, so you see the two comparison. Purge out so that this can happen, to the intention that we can see this result. So take off old characters so that we can see the new you manifest. You get it? So the reason why you are doing this, or you are taking off or purging out this, is because of this. You are doing something with another thing in mind so that you can do it. All right, see another example. That's in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. This should clear it further for you. All right, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. For unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but unto the law to Christ, that I might gain them which are without the law. So you see that's simply, I'm doing this thing so that I can have this. or I'm doing this so that I can see this result I want to see. So when Paul is saying, he that speaks in the tongue, pray that he prophesies. What is he simply saying? Pray in tongues with the intent to prophesy, or with the intention to prophesy, or that the result of what you're praying in tongues should be prophecy. He's not saying go and pray for God to give you the spirit of interpretation. Like some people will say, I can speak in tongues, but I don't have the spirit of to interpret it. No, he's saying pray with the intention to interpret. So that clarifies it for you. You can pray in tongues without any intention to interpret, right? Don't we do that a lot when we are praying? But rather, when he said to seek to the excelling or to excel to the edification of the church, he said right now that your tongues, if your prayer in tongues, should now have a particular intention and direction so you can edify men. That is simply what that verse is saying. All right. Tongues on the, all right, let's see verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I keep saying it, that well there means kalos, it means excellently, something that is done well without room for blame. So when you speak in tongues or sing in tongues, you have done perfectly, you have done well, excellently. However, while you are in church or while there are persons to bless, of course, we know that ministry is all about blessing people. We talked about it, another question that all of you failed. Why? What is the purpose of the supernatural or the spiritual? It is a sign for the unbeliever and it supplies that which is lacking or which is necessary or which is needed in the body. That's something people did not pass. I'm just giving people explore on you or answers your complex questions. So, the believer, what? Focus. This is teaching. That is what we do through tongues and interpretation or through expressing the spirit. While we do that, it can be as a sign to the unbeliever, but for us, we are doing it with the intention to supply something that is necessary in the body. A person who seeks edification or seeks edification of the believer or the brethren next to him would definitely want to excel in interpretation of tongues. Is that correct? Is that correct? Alright, so that is our focus today. That is just the end of my message. Interpretation or receiving interpretation to bless requires that deliberate desire or deliberate focus to that intent. Now, interpretation of tongues has various variations. You can speak in tongues, interpret, and what comes out is word of knowledge, right? You can speak in tongues and interpretation is word of wisdom. You can speak in tongues and interpretation is prophecy. It's not a hard and fast rule that your tongue and interpretation must always only be prophecy. No. Through tongues and interpretation, you can receive things that that was not known before. So that is, tongues and interpretation can birth prophecies, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of view. So whatever it is that is needed at that point in time, the only difference is for you to speak in tongues with that intent. So, you can speak in tongues with the intent of saying, I want to receive a word of knowledge. Or with the intent of word of wisdom. Or with the intent of prophesying. The difference is your intention. You are praying with a particular intent. And you are praying with a particular focus in mind. That focus you have is what you will receive. If you do not have any focus, you will not receive anything. Is as simple as that. So, for us, prophecy or expressing the spirit, what does it entail for us? What does it entail for us? What does it entail for us? What do we expect to see from a man speaking by the Spirit of God? What do we expect to see from a man that is expressing the spirit through tongues and other utterance? Of course, you know, I've told you utterance is beyond just tongues. That's encompassing a lot of things. Let's see Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. A man expressing the spirit through utterance will expect one of these things because you are praying with that particular direction or with that particular intention. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, so you know where we start in the morning, right? No man speaking by the Spirit of God keeps quiet. Or no man filled with the Spirit of God keeps quiet. And then you see Paul saying here that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you speak into yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, prophecies. These are things that will come forth from a man's filled with the Spirit of God. Now you might think that, okay, how do I just break forth in psalms? Has any of you done psalms before through tongues and interpretation? Okay, just you first. Definitely, I've had to do it. It is. What is the difference with the intention, right? So the intention now is psalms is just rhythm. Or verses or something that sounds musical, that just sounds like it has rhymes, like hell, those English things. That's what psalm is. So it's not like, it can also be interpretation of tongue, like poems. Okay. So that's just how it is. So you can speak in tongues with that intention. When we do practices, all we do is, okay, today we are going to be bringing forth psalms. So we'll say speak in tongues and bring our psalms. And you just lovely times. When it just flows. You know, we do practical. We just do a practical session. One weekday service. I say, okay, we do practical psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Making melody. How do you get new songs? The song you sang today, how did you get it? Do you sit down and brainstorm? You sang in the spirit. And then get songs like that. So what you are doing, you are singing in the spirit with the intent to receive a new song. So the intention is what guarantees what you get. So today we are going to be focused or intentional about tongues in different directions or to achieve different results. Because you are the one that defines what comes out. You are the one that defines what comes out. It is you. Utterance, just, it's a tool that God has given us, so the believer, to shape his days. To shape your days. Shape events, shape things for direction, for focus. It carves out our path. You can inspire words, speak things concerning what you want to see, give direction. That's what I mean by shaping your days. You give direction, speaking specifically concerning what you want. So for example, you are preparing for a meeting or you are planning a meeting, and then you just pray in tongues to the intent that direction and utterance comes forth towards that meeting, right? And then you start speaking words. That is a tool that you have to shaping things in the direction you want. Consistently speaking in that direction. Consistently speaking. So, do not be selfish about tongues. Do not just say tongues is just for me to just enjoy myself and just all a week goes and all you're just doing is tongues. You're not bothered about interpretation. You are not bothered to explore it further or speaking in tongues to an intent to receive something. Ah, no. Don't let tongues just be about yourself. Okay? You're speaking in tongues to the intent that something specific comes out. So this particular intention, your choice. You want to practice word of knowledge? Is there any other way? That's it. You speak in tongues with a particular situation, person or this in your mind and say, okay, I want to know this specific thing. And then you speak in tongues. When you receive something, you say it. If it is not correct, what do? You speak in tongues again. We practice until you achieve that desired aim. So a person says, I desire to give word of wisdom. What is your own choice or what is your path to speak in tongues? It will be almost impossible to express all the other gifts of the Spirit without tongues. Like, almost impossible. Almost impossible. That was what we learned on Wednesday, that a man that refuses to speak in tongues is limiting himself. Just limits and just puts himself in one corner. Tongues is your roadmap to explore the spirituals. As Judah would say, utterance is the doorway to the supernatural. Doorway. It gives you, it helps to just chart out the course for you. Gives you direction. Gives you direction. All right, so it all boils down to tongues. It all boils down to tongues. Be conscious of blessing others through utterance today. That is what we're going to do in our practical sessions. We're going to pray in tongues to the intent that your choice. You understand? So there's no direction from here. You will pray in tongues to the intent that ... your choice. So you fill in the blank. Pray in tongues until, if it's word of knowledge you want to give today, until that. Do you understand? Pray in tongues until Psalms. Mm-hmm. Your choice. Are you ready? Are you ready? So the difference is in your speaking with the particular intention. Your intention matters. Your intention matters. You don't practice here. Where do you want to practice it? We practice here and we do it well. Okay? All right, let's be on our feet. Expressing the Spirit through utterance. So a lot of things can happen. You see where we read in the confession? 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then when you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, has a what? Fill in the blank. Let all things be done unto the fire. So do you have something? You have something? You are born ready. In your mind, everybody born ready. Stephen, do you have something? You have something? Are you sure? What do you have? Interpretation. Okay. Listen, what do you have? You have tongues. Okay. What do you have? Okay. Kevin, what do you have? Okay. What do you have? Exactly! Glory! See why I love every title? That is what I want. What do you have? I have the Spirit. So you're a man that has the Spirit, has everything. He can manifest anything. Every title, I'll give you a transport fare home. But of course, I'm the one driving you home, so there's no transport fare. I will be your transport fare home. A man that has the Spirit has everything. So what do you have? And what are you going to express? Through what? Your choice. Alright? So since we are focusing on utterance today, we'll give a tongue, we'll keep speaking in tongues until you will speak, we'll just spend 5 minutes on your own, you will speak in tongues. Of course, you know now you are going to be deliberate, right? You are going to be speaking in tongues with a particular intention. Then when we are done with that 5 minutes, it will now be with one another, so you will just pair with each other and then you will now give that thing that you have. Are you ready? You ready? All right, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. This is now the difference between speaking in tongues to edify yourself and speaking in tongues to edify others. The difference is in the intention and in being deliberate. So you are deliberately speaking in tongues to a particular intention. But you must edify yourself enough to be able to edify others. That is why we are speaking in tongues now. You edify yourself to the point that it flows out and you can edify others very well. Very well. Very well. Very well. Very well. Very well. Oh, very well. Very well. Hey, hey, brassy, old bro, packy, tis, give again a man taste, reparati, don't shove a canter taste, rica, paraca, cools, resonon, tosi, tattoo, sherepi, capa, ambra palate, jetis, ananda, father, dada, papa, lata, imrang, non, zemanta, lake, a sheer, hadada, dosha, a prepa, sell again, don't do simranale, data, harafa, fusa, brapa, palate, a sheer, dada, ere, non, do, si, tattoo, serata, arababa, say, non, tosi, gadada, fa, ere, letis, gumbo, Redemption reveals to us the glorified Christ, but not just the glorified Christ, but the ones also that he has glorified, because we are also glorified just as Christ is glorified. God does not give a glory for himself only, but rather he has made us partakers of that glory, so we share in that glory. And today we glory as glorified ones, and we also glory in the glorified one. That is who we are. Oh, Shamon Friga Sita Pa, Eric, get on Bregi Satata, Asiri Kufu Simranatalata, Eletetu Rananta Tasa, Abrepepodonte, Siri Particles, Ivesafa Shito, Ha Ha Ha, Rebapa, Sima Montalati, Refefasi Kumbo, Shatatata, Erete Poposina Palati, Sekegeto, Renafo Sheta, Poshereki Vanata, Iman, 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 Imranda Nundu, Anosinampa Hideki. Zora Katanafi, Irefa Fosha Particle, Tosunana Pari, Erik Gito, Sumrala, Tata, Arebosha, Bada, oh, open your eyes and see. Why do you turn a blind eye to the realities that you have? Open your eyes and see, for there is so much to explore. Open your eyes and see, for there is so much that has been given unto you. Open your eyes and see. Do not ignore any further. Open your eyes and see, for that is which you see is what you are going to walk in. Oh, glory to God. La Shaprata Tela Vaka, Erese, Rapa, Rapata Tela. Oh, I say again, open your mind and see. 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 For there is so much to see and walk in. There is so much to see and walk in. What you see is what you walk in. Open your mind and see. Expand the habitations of your mind. Ensure that there is no limit there. Don't put windows and shutters. No, there is no limit in your mind. Open your mind and see. Open your mind and see. Rafre Jesus Lotosa. Reta tata vigosa paratatosha. Araketis evrenata tata. Ashetosa. Don't shut off your mind from the realities that you have in Christ. Do not shut off your mind from the realities that you have in Christ. No, if your mind is shut off, you cannot express it. If your mind is shut off, you cannot experience it. If your mind is shut off, you will keep thinking that you are outside, whereas you are already inside. No, do not shut off your mind. Open your minds and see. There is no limit to what you can do in the spirit, only other mastery and precision, but there is no limit. So open your mind and see. Open your mind and see. Revel Shakabatate, Eresoto Zafita, Lema Pratata, Elesete, the Shefegatumonotos of Rigada, Ereparati, Sefedabata, Apopo. Oh, the spiritual is a realm. It's actually a world. It's a world on its own. The spiritual is a world. And we are not externals to it. No, we are not standing from the outside and peering inside. No, we are actually inside. We are in that spiritual realm. We are in that spiritual world. We are not aliens to it. No, it is our own domain. It is our own realm. We are not trying to assess it. We are already inside. Inside. Rather, all we will do is from the inside that we are in it, we will express His glory to God. Oh, I can go on and on and on and on. I'm giving you one more minute and show you have prayed enough with enough deliberate way or deliberate intention, because today you must express the spirit through utterance. Through utterance. To say you have nothing to give will be an insult to God and calling him a liar and saying that he did not give you the spirit. No, he gave you the spirit, so you always have something to give. 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 Glory to God. We bless one another by the things that we have. Oh, we give, and even much more, we are expecting to receive. Ah, we honor one another because of what can flow from one to one. It is from one to one. We are not expecting God. We are not looking up to God. No, we are looking up to you. We are looking up to you because the gift of the Spirit is from you to you. It's from one to one. It's from you to you. It's from a man to a man. So we are not waiting on God. No, we are waiting for you.
You are the one we are waiting for. You are the one we are waiting for. If you do not bless us, we cannot be blessed. If you do not bless us here, we cannot be blessed. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. All right, so you don't have to be your next door neighbor, but just ensure you pick somebody. Just go around and get somebody blessed through utterance. So I'm expecting word of knowledge, word of wisdom, rejoicings, prophecies, anything via tongues and interpretation. So go ahead and pray and bless one another. We're not waiting for God, we are waiting for you. If you do not bless us, we cannot be blessed. Ensure the person you're praying is a very deliberate thing. You are specifically asking, or the person must be able to bless you well. Oh, your blessing today is dependent on that person. So be eager to receive and ensure you are blessed well. Ooh, glory to God. Fasita vanda sharananda are a sibrodom do sirenanti ligi de bari rara sanda tati bun do sibrehenetish ibrakoski ma paprande tika rasivronom bul sharata are letira tata do zereper maritiski goshki tati titi kata atun zahati pahaka katu ireza rafane manto sopra ishiviati indosi irapande tete Irete de le bon sia ta 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 Irito non si ta nan terete bon sa ta Irete non 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 sa da te de greke skuku ta tu zare Are ka ku rina nan te Iri sara pa ku do shara ta na na Ina man po po si re ke Ara ta tu sa va ta ta di da da Para man pe I ere va si e ta Umba mon mon non 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 si manan te vi manan te Bring him up a percy at a bush, da da but ananda da 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 Mara de tosira tato sive, fio sabatere di catatare. No mamba sata e prepare o usi a preparate to sada tate and no non sanana da tere ato para sivinante shabatela da da da. Oh, gone are the days where we wait for God to make things happen. Gone are the days where we cross our legs and fold our arms, expecting God to supernaturally make things happen. No, the supernatural works with the intent and the decision and the will of man. So a man will decide that he wants something to happen, and that is when something will actually happen. So we want an atmosphere of power, we'll decide and we'll create it. Otherwise, it will not happen. Yeah, it will not happen. It is not in God's hands. It's in yours. Oh, people shall have taught to see the fecatita pacabra push. It ceased to be in God's hands when He made the Spirit available. When He made the Spirit available to indwell you, it ceased to be in God's hands. Many things He has prepared. I'm stepping into it by faith. Many things He has prepared. I'm stepping into it by faith. The Spirit of the Lord is on me now. I speak it forth in all the rest. Many, many things he has prepared. I'm stepping into it by faith. Oh, many, many things he has prepared. I'm stepping into it by faith. Oh, many, many things he has prepared. Stepping into it by faith. Many, many things God has prepared already. Oh, we step into it by faith. The Spirit of the Lord is on me now. We speak it forth in all utterance. Oh, many, many things he has prepared. We're stepping into it by faith. Oh, many, many things he has prepared. Stepping into it by faith. Oh, glory to God. We are not selfish with tongues. We are not just bothered about our edification when it comes to tongues. We'll pray in tongues to the intent that somebody else receives direction. Oh, answer the question in somebody's heart. Answer the question in somebody's heart.